Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, Feel Felt Found. Hi everyone, this is Mike and welcome back to Manager Tools. Well, I got to tell you, I'm thrilled that Mark has finally written this thing down. Every time we teach the Feel Felt Found method with our corporate clients or at a conference, Mark turns to me and goes like, dude, we've got to make a cast about this. And then he doesn't. So here we go. He finally has written this stuff down. So what you're going to see here is, particularly when you see it work the first time, is something so incredible you're going to be surprised. In almost any situation, you'll see a noticeable lessening of tension. Now, you'll probably also feel better at moving past the frustration or source of conflict that are being discussed. And when you use this with your directs, it often helps begin the process of finding solutions. And to our good friend Rich Rue, who told Mark this past week at our San Antonio Effective Communications Conference, that after reading Peter Drucker, he was more comfortable around Mark because he realized that all these great ideas weren't Mark's alone. Well, Mark didn't make this one up either. All right, everybody, here we go. I can't remember the first time I saw you do this, but every time I see it now, I smile at how well I've seen it work over, gosh, so many years here.
Yeah, when I catch myself doing it, I feel the same way. I feel lucky to have learned it. And you and I have both seen the different look we get when you're saying this phrase to someone and they're hearing it for the first time.
Yeah. And there's definitely a bit of like wow moment there. Like, and you think like, man, hey, that say that again. That sounded good.
I think that's why it's a classic. Definitely.
Yeah. So shall we get right to it?
We shall. This is a pretty simple cast.
Yeah. Please don't tell me that you've made it complex anyway.
Maybe I have. Maybe. No, I'm kidding. No. Brevity before bloviating today.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there are three parts to the cast. Very simple cast. Part one is usage. When do you use Feel Felt Found? Part two is verbiage. What do you say? And how do you say it? And then third, body language, gestures to go along with the verbal and the tonal.
Wow, this may be quick indeed. No sub-bullets even.
No.
Great. Okay, so let's hear about usage.
Haven't I done a cast, though, before where I said there were no sub-bullets and then I secretly revealed them as we went through?
Yeah, but this is not one of those, right?
Are you sure? Yeah.
I'm okay. Hoping.
It's not. Okay. So the phrase feel felt found is widely known in sales circles. I can't be sure that it originated there in sales, but it's a safe bet that if you Googled it, if somebody Googled it, one would find many sites that tie it to overcoming objections. The word sales and objections, I'm sure, would be at the top of a Google list of it.
Right. So I assume, maybe I shouldn't, but I assume you learned this at Procter & Gamble?
Oh, no. I learned it in sales class in the Field Artillery School in the Army. Yes, I did. I learned it at Procter. I remember thinking at the time, like I'm sure so many other people before me, that's pretty cool. So let's assume it first happened in a sales context. What I've actually come to realize over time, though, is that sales objections, the first context in which, well, the context is most likely it's trained. Sales objections were just the sales version of disagreements or conflict. And there were far more situations than just relegating it to sales and overcoming objections, in which it could really be useful. It wasn't just a sales phrase.
Even in management, I bet.
Yeah. Well, think about it. It's even more in management, right? I mean,
yeah.
It may have just been me, but I think, all of my first uses, of course, were in overcoming objections. My usage was totally driven by being on a sales call, not having addressed an objection earlier in the call. Whether it's hidden or not, it doesn't matter. If an objection comes up to a sale toward the end, then there was an objection and you didn't uncover it. And so my usage was getting objections late. And of course, earlier is better in terms of handling objections. And I am certainly not the first person, and there may be an entire company that's built around this, and God bless them for it. I'm not the first person to use this technique outside of a sales call. I suspect there are a lot of folks who use it only in sales calls. They see it as a sales overcoming objection phrase.
Yeah, and they see it only as valuable in that context.
Right, exactly, yeah. But really, when you abstract it a little bit, an objection is just a verbalization of some kind of disagreement. It's just a moment of conflict.
And managers see that every day, that's for sure.
The definition of conflict is two human beings in the same county. Put 100 plus people in one building, give them short little cubicle walls to separate them, and bingo, you have conflict, my friend.
I think so.
You know, it's interesting. I almost wonder, we've got to do a series on conflict. I'm not talking about conflict negotiate, you know, all the negotiation stuff. And I think we probably need to do a pinch crunch model and some other stuff, because conflict is a huge, I mean, really, you think about it, it's a huge part of a manager's life.
Oh, it's right? A constant, right? It's the,
yeah,
it's a definition of competing resources and objectives
yep.
in an
yep.
organization.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good. Okay. So Phil Felt found that usage is for situations of conflict.
Yep. A direct comes into your cube upset. A peer wants something and is frustrated you haven't complied with her request. An internal customer or supplier is slow. Or there's disagreement on the terms of the arrangement. Basically, anytime you sense that you are not emotionally or rationally aligned with someone, Feel Felt Found is a powerful way to diffuse some of the tension that may be happening.
Great. You know, I think a great way to get into the verbiage here, which folks want to get, would be for you to give us a couple of examples first, and then let's get into the detail. How does that sound?
Every time at the conferences when we do little longer role plays, right? When you and I or Michael and I do a little bit longer role plays, we get wow responses. So I totally agree. I'll give you two, right? The first one of my directs, we're going to call him Terry, comes into my office and says to me, Mark, Robert, and Robert's on my team as well. He's a peer of Terry's. Robert continues to stall on giving me the numbers for Q3. He says he'll get them to me, and then he doesn't. I got to have them or I'm going to start missing deadlines.
Right. And this is a classic case where the manager would typically go get Robert and bring him into the office and solve the problem right there. But
yeah.
That's it's wrong, and that's for another cast.
That's really wrong. Right. So Feel Felt Found here might sound something like this. Terry, I can respect how you feel here. When others don't seem to be responding to my request, I've totally felt like you do. That makes sense to me. What I found is the best approach is either some peer feedback or some questions about whether he's clear, he really does owe you the numbers, and then maybe some documentation at some point.
Okay, good. Okay, how? What about a peer?
I just want to say back, hopefully, if you're listening and you can rewind, listen again. That there were a lot of words there, and I didn't just say, I feel, I felt, I found. It was a little bit broader than that, although all three words were in there. Okay, second example. My peer, Kathy, we'll call her Kathy, comes in and says, I disagree with your approach on the presentation to the boss. You're shading it too much toward operations, but I really think we need a marketing approach. And I might say, thinking, okay, Kathy and I are in conflict. I don't want this conflict to create a problem. We've still got to work together going forward, right? I don't want there to be a 900-pound gorilla standing between us.
Right. So you're defining conflict pretty broadly here, right? Because to me, it sounds like there's a disagreement, and you're saying, and I agree, disagreement is a form of conflict.
Yeah. Exactly. If you're not aligned, right? If you're not aligned emotionally, rationally, strategically, operationally with somebody, you're in conflict, right? What is it? You know, I always get Drucker's quote wrong about the only three things that happen naturally in organizations are friction, disorder, and malperformance, right? I mean, it's just the organization is inherently inefficient, and we're not taught ways to address conflict, but you're right. Let's be clear. Disagreement is conflict. Maybe it's level one conflict, right? It's not It's not I'm angry at her and I'm not speaking to her.
Good. This is not conflict, just short of physical altercations.
No, yeah, it's just a disagreement, right? And you could even use this in a situation where you're just batting around ideas, you're past brainstorming and you're saying, hey, what about this or what about that? And you could even do it where there are two competing points of view. Not as necessarily win lose, but yeah, yes, disagreement is conflict. We don't want people to elevate the idea that, oh my gosh, I'm in disagreement. That's like conflict. I think what we'd rather do is have people understand that conflict is a fundamental part of your nature as a manager. You're always going to be in conflict with other people. A little bit more zen would be good for many people. And dealing with conflict takes many different forms, and this is just one of them. And generally, it's for lower level things, right? If you're in full blown near fisticuffs, it's unlikely you're going to be smart enough to use feel, felt, found.
Okay, so I interrupted. I apologize. No worries. So Kathy disagrees with your approach on the presentation to your boss.
And I might say something like this. I can see why you'd feel that way. Totally my fault. And sorry I wasn't more clear. I probably have felt the same way under the circumstances. Here's my take. What I found is the boss doesn't see it our way, the marketing way, even though we feel like we know we're right. And I don't think she'd like that approach. So I put it in her language with all the ops stuff that she always asked for.
Good. Okay. That was helpful. So,
okay.
I think it should be pretty obvious by now, but let's go through it. What's the verbiage?
Yeah, I think what we did, interestingly, by giving the examples, the full examples, it would be easy for people to go, wow, is there a feel, felt, found in there? Right? It's a little bit like a judo move in a way, in that you're simply, you're setting aside, that's what I think of it as, setting aside the conflict by saying, hey, I've totally felt the way you felt, and so on. But anyway, so let's walk through the three phrases. They are linked together loosely, in the sense that hopefully people saw that before. There were a lot of words there, and feel, felt, found were in there, but they don't have to be so tightly linear that you feel like you're marching through the three words, getting them closer and closer all the time. And you don't have to be totally precise either every time. The first step, obviously, is feel. I understand how you feel. I can see why you'd feel that way. I respect how you feel. I'm getting how you feel about this. I hear how you feel.
Yeah, some people might not be noting that you did not include in there, I know how you feel. Why is that?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I didn't. Our friend Michael Swinson rightly pointed out to me a number of years ago that usage, that phrase, I know how you feel, really isn't very effective in conflict situation. Look, it's fine if a buddy is complaining and you're simply commiserating. It's a way of showing camaraderie in his or her misery. Feel, felt, found isn't just showing commiseration, camaraderie, and misery. Plus, as Michael shared with us, and he was dead right, telling someone you know how they feel isn't entirely accurate. You probably don't know exactly how they feel anyway.
Yeah. And I most know how people, I react to that. No, you don't.
No, you don't. Right.
Yeah. In my head.
This relates, it ties in beautifully, you know, more and more and more and more. I hope people see the Manager Tools focus on behavior as just being, you know, a touchstone of what makes this stuff valuable for so many managers, because it's just like trying to give feedback about somebody's attitude, right? It's trying to give feedback about what's in their head. It irritates people. And what's the first thing we know? I mean, this ought to be Manager Tools top 10. This is a test of the Manager Tools top 10 to know whether or not somebody really is listening on a regular basis and trying to improve their development. And that is, what do people always say when you say you have a bad attitude?
No, I don't.
No, I don't. So in the same way.
Did I got it right?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Good. So I'm a pretty regular listener, actually.
Number one on it. Yeah. Number one. You may listen to us more than anybody else because you have to listen to it multiple times editing, right?
Yeah, it's painful.
I don't know how you do that.
When you got to listen to yourself, but
I know I don't want to listen to you. Well, you listen to yourself bad enough, but then you got to listen to me for like 10 times longer.
Well, that's a good part, but go on.
Dude, I totally feel for you. Okay. So you probably don't exactly know how they feel, and most people don't like it, other people getting inside their heads. The purpose of the first part of the phrase, the use of the word feel, is not to commiserate, but to validate. It's to say, it's okay to feel that way. And of course, you're about to prove it by going on to say, I felt that way too in a similar situation, or I would feel like you do under the circumstances that you're in. You know, it's probably too fine a point here. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time on it. But when you say to a buddy, I know how you feel, that's sympathy. But the first step in feel, felt, found is really empathy.
Okay. So I understand how you feel. I can see why you'd feel that way. I respect how you feel. I'm getting how you feel about this. I hear how you feel. You know, so I think I get it. So
right.
Part two of the phrase is felt.
Right. And this is all variations on the theme of I've felt that way too, or in a manner of speaking, now a little bit more of the sympathy, even if it's a somewhat removed sympathy. I felt like that before. I've been there and felt that way. I've talked to others who have felt that way. By the way, that last one, I've talked to others who have felt that way. That's a slight variation using another person's point of view. The point is, what we're doing here in the first two steps is saying, we're not going to challenge how you feel. It's going to be okay for you, for the energy that you're bringing to this discussion, for this conflict, for this disagreement, for this moment. Where you are is okay. If I attack your idea, what often happens in conflict situations is the person, even though they're mature enough, professionally and emotionally mature enough to separate the idea from themselves, and there are some people who are not, if they're mature enough to separate the idea and you attack the idea when they're feeling they know they're in conflict with you, that conflict and the attack on the idea causes their belief, they believe that your attack has redounded onto them and how they feel. In other words, you're simply using their idea as a straw man for attacking how they feel and saying, you should not feel that way. And quite frankly, many managers say, well, you shouldn't feel that way. And the moment you start using should managers, it's not a good plan. But the point with feel and felt is to get to the issue of, hey, you know, I can see why you'd feel that way. It's okay. And now let's talk about this somewhat rationally.
Right. And for those of you thinking that feeling shouldn't be something we focus on here, I think we all make the mistake of vastly underestimating the amount of feelings we act on versus intellectual thought.
All of the engineers, all the IT people, all the software developers, anyone who was drawn to the world of computers because they loved spending hours writing code and fabulous. The world is so blessed to have people who are gifted at that. That's also a choice in many, many cases about not wanting to interact as much with people and how people feel, unfortunately, including even you, drives how you behave. All human beings behave the same way. The world happens. They filter the world through their own paradigms of experience and perception. Then they think about what they saw and make sense. It's called sense making. They make sense of it. And then they decide, in a manner of speaking, how they feel about it. Only when we decide how we feel about it do we take action. I've said this before. This is why the word motion and emotion are so closely related.
Right. Well, you could argue, and many have, that you actually determine how you feel about something first.
Yes.
And then you figure out how you're going to justify it intellectually.
Yeah. And feelings and actions are so closely related. The problem is that because psychologists have taught many managers that how you feel drives what you do, that's not to say for some people the feelings tend to be narrower and for others it tends to be broader, or there tends to be more thinking and less feeling, or more feeling and less thinking depending upon certain people. The big issue is psychologists have led many managers to believe that what they need to do is climb upstream and get in the heads and the emotions of their directs. And you're not going to do it. You can validate it by saying, hey, I'm cool with how you feel. Right. And then take those feelings off the table so that you're not insulting their feelings when you talk about their attitudes, their ideas, or their behaviors. But the only thing that people will give you an opportunity to mess with in their lives is their behaviors.
So. Good. Okay. So,
okay, sorry.
So step one was kind of this phrase is, I understand how you feel. Step two,
right.
I felt that way too. The last step is found.
Right. You're basically saying, here's what my experience has shown me. Here's a different way of seeing it based on mine or other people's perspective. Here's a different approach. It suggests that I see what you're feeling. I've been there, and I have an idea for how we might change where we are. It sounds like, after feel felt, what I found is, or when I face that, what I found, or I found that one way to address this is.
Good.
Pretty simple.
Good. Okay, so before we go into body language, why don't you just put all three of those together? Let's hear what it sounds like again.
Okay, so let's just go back. So we've walked through all three of them. So let's listen to Terry again. Terry, I can respect how you feel here. When others don't seem to be responding to my request, I've felt like you do. Makes sense to me. What I found is the best approach is either some peer feedback or some questions about whether he's clear, he really does owe you the numbers, and then maybe some documentation. And you know what? Let me do it again. And let me on that third phrase, let me not step on the I so much. When I say what I found, it implies that, dude, you're just not smart enough. You haven't figured out what I figured out. So let me do that again. Terry, I can respect how you feel here. When others don't seem to respond to my request, I felt like you do. It makes sense. Frustrating, I know. What I found is the best approach is either some peer feedback or some questions about whether he's really clear he owes you the numbers. And then maybe some documentation at some point in the future.
Good. I'm glad you went back. That's a great point to not to stress the I there. That would be very counterproductive.
Yeah. And this is where people say, Mark, when are you going to run out of cast? Just something like that. A manager says what I found, right? And that manager's probably insecure about their role and showing off their knowledge of a new tool. In 1 second, in a millisecond there with what I found, lording their new tool over someone else, they do damage to the very effort they're trying to make.
Yeah. Oh, God. How fragile relationships are.
Okay. Yeah, it's as if really good communication is really, really hard.
Maybe. Okay, yeah, you might actually do a communications conference. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay, so I think we got the words down now. So let's talk about the other important aspect of this, which is, and people can't see, is the body language.
Right. Yeah, this is embarrassing. I was sitting here moving backwards and forwards toward the microphone using my body language when I was doing these. I've said to many groups before, people born blind at birth still gesture, because the gesture, the motor centers of the brain that control our ability to gesture are inextricably linked to our speech, the parts of our brain that control our speech. It is normal to gesture. There's almost no one who doesn't gesture in the world. People who say they don't gesture just gesture very small. And it's okay to gesture small. Where you are is okay in terms of gesturing. Although, if you're gesturing in one way when you're working with somebody who's gesturing different from you, you're missing an opportunity to close some of the misunderstanding gap, some of the lack of communication gap by changing your behavior. That said, let's talk about the body language for this particular phrase. Now, I don't know that this is something that was taught to me in sales training, to be honest. But actually, a number of years ago, I found myself using a repetitive set of body language that really seems to complement the verbal language we're using here. and I think we'll have to put up some video at some point showing these actions. And you know, think about it, Mike. We may even put up two versions, one for the more expressive folks, the D's and I's, and one for the less expressive, say the S's and C's out there. You know, bigger gestures and smaller gestures and so on.
That's a great idea. I love
it. But for now, look, it's pretty easy. When you say the feel step, and by the way, let's assume for a moment that not that everyone normally stands this way, but it's not far from how a good majority of people stand when they're talking. Let's assume for a moment that my upper arms are hanging at my sides and I have my elbows bent at roughly about 90 degrees. And my hands are somewhere around my midsection. Okay. And they're in front of me. They're not hanging loosely at my sides the way they would to start a presentation. You could almost think that this is where my hands would be if I were holding, it probably overkill, but a candle in a church service or a synagogue or a mosque, you know, just you're cupping something in your hands. You don't have to be cupping, but I'm just saying your hands right around in front of your midsection, or above your belt line or something along in those areas. Okay, so your hands are there. Let's just agree on that as a starting point. When you say the feel step, you simply gesture with an open hand or two open hands towards the other person. In general, when you gesture toward another person, it's more effective, unless you want them to shut up, to have the backs of your hands down towards the floor. When I coach executives, as a general rule, and some people are going to laugh at this, but it's true, if you can see the backs of your own hands when you're gesturing or reaching towards another person, when you're trying to communicate with them as opposed to shutting them down, if you can see the backs of your hands, there's a good chance you're actually hurting the connecting part of your delivery. Okay? One way to think about body language here in step one is to just slide your hand or your hands waist high or thereabouts. By the way, for most people, particularly young people, your waist is much higher than you realize. Okay. Basically, you slide your hands waist high towards the other person. Okay. In step two, when we say felt, you slide that hand or hands back towards yourself. It's a little bit like, I mean, this will sound corny, but for those who have heard it, the junior medicine ball technique, which we talked about in the answering questions in a presentation cast. I don't know, it's been a year, two, 3 years ago. Generally, you want to bring your hands back toward you while keeping your palms toward you as if you're gathering something in. You're gesturing toward yourself. You're catching something.
For me, it's this third step that has some real power here.
Yeah. So we've slid our hands forward. Now we're sliding them back. When you get to the found step, we recommend that you gesture toward your side, away from directly between you and the other person. The intent of this is to send a message which says, let's set aside the difference we used to have. Okay. It's basically saying, let me show you how to get past this, to set it aside and move on to solutions or to effective actions. It looks like maybe you had been holding something close to you, and as you move your hand or your hands to your side, it ends up looking like you're passing a plate, perhaps, to someone else. Usually your palms are up, although the orientation of your hands aren't as important in this step because it's not involving the other person. It's toward your side. Maybe think of a slow motion dealing of a card to your left or right, or again, passing something to someone beside you.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed is that when you do this, your movements are pretty subtle.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we talk about gestures, people assume that they have to be big, they have to be showy. You don't have to do that much to reinforce this message. People don't watch your hands. They usually watch your face. And of course, if they're not looking at you at all, the gesture won't matter whether you do it big or small. I guess unless you hit them or something, but no, if they're going to be looking at your face, if they're paying attention to the words, your gestures happen in the background to them, but it still nonetheless reinforces it. If you were holding your hands in front of your belt line when you started, they may not have to move more than 6 to 8 inches forward. And then, of course, back roughly the same difference. And then maybe 8 inches or so to the side. It's not a pantomime. It's not a mime show at all. It's a gentle compliment to the words you're using. And when you use this technique 100 times, you'll know you'll have the body language about perfect when you don't even think about it. It just happens. You discover your hands are moving in that direction. And by the way, the reason they do that is because that's what happens when you practice effective communications or effective management or effective career behaviors. When you practice and practice and practice and practice, it becomes second nature, like driving your car to work. If you've ever driven your car to work and you can't even remember the drive, that's your brain taking over and doing it for you so you can then pretend to think that you're safe in your car while you're texting on your BlackBerry. What effective managers know is we learn something new, we discover what works, and then we practice it until it becomes second nature so we don't have to consciously think about it. We want to move from conscious competence to unconscious competence. And when you do it the first few times, After it becomes second nature, the gestures happen as second nature. I got to say, it feels pretty good.
Yeah. And it feels pretty awkward when you're first doing it. So this is one of those things I'd encourage you.
Yeah, it does. You know, but that's true of life, right? The first time you do something, you stink at it. That's just the nature of life. That one of the great things about the human condition is we can learn new things.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So I think that's it, right?
Right.
Good. Okay. So what we're talking about here is just using feel, felt, found in conflict or situations where you have some agreement. You may not even think of it as conflict, just think of it as disagreement. And then we say, I hear what you feel. I felt that way before. And then what I found is, and then you complement it with some subtle body language.
That's it. Good wrap up. Thanks, partner.
Excellent, my friend. We'll see you. That's it, everyone. We're all done. No part two on this one. All in 30 minutes or less. Hey, before we go, though, I've gotten a number of phone calls and emails asking about availability of slots at our upcoming November 11 and 12 Atlanta Effective Manager Conference. We do have slots. They're going quickly, but we do have some left. So if you're interested in attending, we'd love to have you there. You'll find more information on the website, www.managertools.com. All right. We'll see y'all next week. So long.